Hello and welcome back to Module 2 of this course on MBA for Surface Pro 3 deployment. In this module we're going to be taking a look at deploying Surface Pro 3 with Configuration Manager, also known as SCCM. And specifically we're going to be taking a look at using the correct version of Configuration Manager, downloading the right drivers for a Surface Pro 3, importing those drivers into Configuration Manager. Then we're going to make sure that we distribute the Surface Pro 3 driver package to our environment correctly. We're going to make sure that we have the network drivers for an X64 bootwim inside of Configuration Manager. We're going to make sure as well that we create and edit a Windows 8.1 task sequence. We're going to then deploy that task sequence, understand last in, first out and boost images, and then we're going to import our Surface Pro 3 hardware into ConfigMan and take a look at creating USB media.
Yep.
So starting us off, which version of Configuration Manager do I need to use in order to be able to do a Surface Pro 3 deployment?
Might be a simple question, but it's best to have the right version. I would say use the latest version, which is Configuration Manager 2012 R2, currently at CU3 level. Mm-hmm. And some people are still on Configuration Manager 2012 SP1. I haven't tested it. It should work because it supports UEFI network boot, but I haven't tested it.
Yep,
if you're still running Configuration Manager 2007, that's a no-no.
Yeah, it's time to move on from 2007. Now it's a little bit, the world has changed a little since 2007.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so so let's think about those drivers that we need to go and get hold of in order to be able to do our deployment. There's a very specific set of drivers that you're going to need for a Surface Pro 3 deployment.
Yep. The drivers that are available on Microsoft's website are sorted by product and function. In other words, there are drivers available for Surface Pro, Surface Pro 2, and Surface Pro 3. Mm-hmm. And these drivers are updated quite often. So when I put the guide together, which was only last month, the drivers that were available were called something September, mm-hmm. right? They were updated. There's now an October driver pack available. It's a good idea to check back often to see if there are driver updates that fix issues.
Yeah, because it's always possible that we'll find something, because we're always pulling back telemetry, we're always understanding what's actually happening. You see lots of little fixes for Wi-Fi mm-hmm. and these kind of things coming into the Surface driver packs all the time. And obviously you want to deploy the right version, because otherwise your Windows Update environment is going to pick those up, and then you might have to reapply drivers at a Windows Update point. So it's just good to get
them downloaded. You want to do it at deployment time, yeah. Exactly.
So the network drivers are actually bundled separately as well?
They are, but they're everything is found at the same location, which is great. Mm-hmm. So what I'll show in a minute is exactly what is available and just talk through it a little bit. There is also an Enterprise Deployment Quick Start Guide mm-hmm. in English.
Yep.
There's even one in Japanese, if you understand Japanese. I don't.
Excellent.
But I did open it and have a look.
Excellent. Presumably exactly the same guide with exactly the same pictures, in Japanese.
Right.
Also, obviously, you're going to need the drivers for things like the pen.
Yes.
The pen is very specific for a Surface Pro 3 and completely different to the pen technology in Surface Pro 2 and Surface Pro, for example.
It's a Bluetooth device, so it needs to be paired with your Surface Pro 3. It needs drivers. It needs your firmware to be up to date, of course. But it also depends, in a way, on the version of Windows that you're running. Mm-hmm. And this one is one that probably most people aren't aware of. Having the latest version of Windows 8.1 update, that is the version you need if mm-hmm. you want to get the out-of-box experience in terms of pen support working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really do have to have the update in order for everything to fully work around it. And software fixes as well.
Correct.
Yeah, they all have to be deployed. So let's take a look at exactly that, getting hold of the correct drivers for that Surface Pro 3 deployment.
Yes. So we should be looking at my screen now. We are. All right, so here's a Bing.
Always nice to see Bing's animated search page.
It's always nice to
see.
And there's a lovely animation going on there. I don't know, is that in Japan or somewhere, but I don't know. So just type in Surface Pro 3 drivers, and There it is, the first link.
Hey, look, you've already clicked on it at least once.
I've clicked on it,
haven't you?
I have been there before. So, bringing you to the page itself, you could just click on download, and then it will show you the various things that are available to download. Or you could click on details to see what is included. You can click on the more button, and you'll see that there are driver packs for the Surface Pro 2, Surface Pro 3. Remember I said that it was updated only recently. Mm-hmm. There you can see the October driver pack. There's even a Surface Pro 3 pen driver update. So if you're deploying Surface Pro 3 now, make sure before you start your deployment to check this site to see which drivers are available and how up to date they are. And then finally there's this little update here which corrects some behavior. So it's required. I would recommend downloading it. So that's it.
Excellent. Awesome. So once we've downloaded those, we've got them onto our system, the next thing that we're going to need to be doing is bringing those drivers inside a configuration manager so that we can dynamically apply them to our reference image as we're deploying that reference image out to our devices. So we need to think about how we're going to bring them in there. First one, I guess the obvious thing is to manually import them, go through the UI, click the buttons,
exactly,
bring it in.
Yep.
Other alternative is to, if you're going to be doing this on a regular basis, I guess, which you may well do, because you might be wanting to bring the updated drivers in, use PowerShell.
Yep, you could automate the entire experience using PowerShell. It's not for the faint-hearted. There are scripts available out there, and I will actually demonstrate at least two of them, for Configuration Manager in terms of importing driver packs. I did say they're not for the faint-hearted. The first time you try and run them, it probably won't work. Mm-hmm. You have to configure them somewhat, and you have to understand exactly what it's doing before you attempt to run it.
Yeah, it's one of
those
things.
So some PowerShell experience is a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's always useful to not make that the first thing you want to go and try. Also, what about how do we understand when things go wrong during the import process?
Okay. When you're importing drivers into Configuration Manager, it doesn't matter if you're doing it manually or using an automated process via PowerShell. Definitely you want to open up CMTrace, mm-hmm. our favorite little tool, and monitor two logs. Mm-hmm. The first log is the SMS provider.log, which is on the site server itself. And the other one is called driver catalog.log. Driver catalog.log will probably list things like duplicate drivers. Mm-hmm. The other log, which is a very important log, SMS provider log, it will tell you errors about file not found, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
So frequently, when you go through the driver import experience in the UI, and let's just imagine for a second that it fails mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Yep.
And you get to the end of the wizard and you see red errors. And mm-hmm. it will say, failed to inject OSD binary, whatever. So you'll get some type of an error that doesn't really make sense. And you don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because it won't make that much sense, unfortunately.
Yep.
That is a very good time to open up the smsprovider.log in CMTrace, scroll up, see which driver failed and why. It will more than likely give you the clues as to why it's failing.
Mm, okay, cool. So it is by far the best place to go and find out what's happening. I never knew that. So a super cool place to be understanding that.
Yep.
What about the process of then you've brought your drivers into ConfigMan. You've obviously then got to make use of them somehow.
Right. So they're not available for use, so to speak, until you've actually distributed them to your distribution points. Distribution points are like file shares. They will contain these driver packages so that when you're deploying a Surface Pro 3, it knows what location it is and it'll pull the drivers from the nearest distribution point. But they're not going to end up there automatically. You have to deploy them to that distribution point first.
Because you could be in the situation where you have a bunch of different offices in different locations, and maybe Surface Pro 3 isn't available in one particular geography.
Mm.
So you might not necessarily want to go ahead and actually bother to deploy the driver package out there. You might just leave it off of those distribution points, keep it in the geographies where Surface Pro 3 is available.
Exactly.
So should we take a look at actually going through this process and
okay.
And doing
so let's here we have the Configuration Manager console. In this demo, I'm going to manually import the drivers. We'll use a PowerShell script later on so we can see how that process looks. So in the drivers node, just click on import driver and point it to the UNC path where you stored the previously downloaded drivers.
Now that is kind of important. You do actually have to have downloaded them to a UNC path on your ConfigMan server. It can't just be a local drive letter, can it?
Correct.
It has to actually be in a shared location. Because this is going to be accessed by multiple of your distribution points as that distribution occurs to all of those points.
So here I'm going to try and find the exact location. And there we go, Surface Pro 3. So in the Surface Pro 3 folder that I've just typed in there, the path, you can see I've got a whole bunch of drivers. In the Microsoft folder, for example, I've extracted the zip files. So it goes without saying that when you download those drivers from Microsoft, they are zipped. You need to unzip them in order for them to be of any use. So these ones are all unzipped, extracted, and ready to be imported. At the bottom of the screen, you can see that it says specify the option for duplicate drivers. By default, it says import the driver and append a new category to the existing categories. That works great, mostly. There are rare occasions when you're going to get problems with importing duplicates. If you do see that problem, it will be flagged in the smsprovider.log or the drivercatalog.log. But when you get to that situation, and you probably will sooner or later, there are scripts available out there that can help you resolve that problem. There's a very good script from Jason Sandys, for example, on his blog to help with duplicate drivers. So we'll just click on Next. And it has parsed all the drivers that are available there, as you can see. And we have the option to enable them and allow computers to install them. The next thing we need to do is create a administrative category that allows us to search for these drivers later on and catalog them properly. So let's go ahead and create one. Windows 8.1 x64, and then Microsoft Surface Pro 3.
That's obviously going to be useful when you've got lots and lots of drivers inside of your environment.
Yes.
And lots of machines that you're deploying to.
So that you can see which drivers apply to which model, right? So you'll see that I have got the OS, I've got the manufacturer name, Microsoft, Dell, Lenovo, whatever, and I also have the model name. So let's click on Next, and you'll see that it asks you, well, which package do you want to add the imported driver to? I don't think it would make much sense to add it to a driver package from another manufacturer or model. Yep. So we'll go ahead and create a new one. We'll call it the same thing. We'll follow that.
That same naming convention that you've established for the categories.
Windows 8.1, x64. I can type Microsoft Surface Pro 3. And we need to specify the path where to create the actual driver package.
And whereabouts on your ConfigMan environment is that actually going to be?
It can be on the site server itself. Basically, it'll be used as the source of which it will read in order to distribute it to all the other DPs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I keep it on the site server itself. So here we go. Driver packages, click on OK. Oh, sorry, we have to give it a full name. Full path, I should say. Here we go. It's a fair bit of typing, and this is an absolute good demonstration of why you should be automating this.
Yeah.
Because here I am typing and I could make mistakes, and a typo in something like this will mean that it probably won't work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
as you expect.
Prevent your deployment from actually, from maybe even deploying to distribution points, but certainly it could cause you some other issues as you're deploying your drivers.
Exactly. So here you go. Now, update distribution points when finished. Well, we haven't distributed this to any DP yet, so it would be kind of pointless. So I'll just remove that generally. Click on Next. Now you get the option, do you want to add all this to your bootWIM? Stop right there. No, you do not, because this is all drivers for the Surface Pro 3. We will cover importing just the network drivers into the bootwim, into the X64 bootwim a little bit later. So we're not going to select anything there from our bootwims, and we're just going to click on next, and it's going to start the import process. While it does, I'm going to open up that cool log I told you about called smsprovider.log, and it's here somewhere. There we go.
And obviously you've associated CMTrace with your .log files.
Oh yeah. And what we should see here live is that, yes, there it goes. So it's importing the drivers, and it will just scroll past. If there are any errors, they'll be marked in red. Those were not errors.
Yeah.
They look like errors.
Let's hope we're not going to see anything bright red appearing.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, that's okay. Those ones are okay.
Okay.
So you get used to certain patterns. I think this is going to be just fine, and we will get a summary here at the end of this UI telling us, at the end of this wizard telling us exactly what has happened.
So just on the point of putting all the drivers into the bootwim.
Yep.
The reason that that would be, I guess, really bad in this kind of environment is that you could really end up with very bloated bootwims with tons of drivers for lots of different devices in there, and that would probably be a little bit suboptimal.
Not a good idea. So you do not want to be adding all these drivers to your bootwim. I would try and advise people to only add network drivers or storage drivers to their bootwim as appropriate. In other words, just because you got network drivers doesn't mean you should add them to your bootwim.
Mm-hmm.
Only add them if you absolutely need to. And how will you know that you need to? Well, you won't have an IP address.
Yeah, no network access. That's the obvious thing. You're adding the drivers in because they're fixing a problem inside of the, in essence, inside of the bootwim,
exactly.
As opposed to just bloating it for no real good reason.
Yep. This process takes a couple of minutes to import the drivers,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, it can take a lot more than a couple of minutes if you're importing lots and lots and lots of drivers. And depending on the speed of both the site server and what type of antivirus software you've got installed and configured.
Ah, okay.
So, a little tip here. Mm-hmm. When you're importing drivers, you might want to configure exclusions for where those drivers are coming from and where they're going to from your antivirus software, assuming that you've scanned them first for any viruses. Although I can't imagine that drivers provided by Microsoft would have a virus in them.
Well, I'd hope not, but you never know. You do want to be absolutely sure when you're downloading anything from the internet that it's A, coming from a trusted source like downloads.microsoft.com, but secondly that you are actually scanning it to make sure there's no malware
absolutely
injected inside of it.
But in terms of speed, if you want to get a really good speed difference,
mm-hmm.
when you're importing drivers, having those exclusions in your AV software will make a huge difference. So here you can see that the import new driver wizard completed successfully. As we scroll down, you see no errors. It looks great.
Awesome. Excellent. So you can ignore the red bits in the...
Yeah, they're totally okay. If we now go back in here and just finish the last part of this, which was go to our driver packages, and we will see that there are a couple of driver packages there. One is the brand new one we just created, Windows 8.1 X64 Microsoft Surface Pro 3.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't distributed anywhere, hence it's gray. I'm going to add two columns up here. One for the size of the driver package, and you see it's zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one I'm going to add is the source version. So we can see, okay, how many times have we updated this to the distribution point? So even though that driver package contains 300 megs or whatever of drivers, it only shows up as a size zero. So when you've imported new drivers and created a driver package, I would update them to your distribution points twice. And the source version should be at least 2, and you'll see that the size changes from 0 to whatever it should be. So let's go and do that. Distribute content. We'll select a distribution point, one or more.
Mm-hmm.
If you're testing drivers for the first time and you are not sure if they're the correct drivers, a good tip would be to just distribute them to the nearest distribution point to you
mm-hmm.
when you're doing your testing. And when you're happy with them, then you can distribute that driver package to all DPs that are relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in this case, I'll just choose the nearest DP. Click Next through the wizard. Job is done. If I now refresh here, we can still see that it's on source version 1. The size is still 0.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we can see the big orange blotch at the moment telling us that it's
in progress. But it's still showing 0. So we'll wait until this turns green, and let's look to see if the size changes to a more reasonable figure. And it has not.
It'll get there.
It will get there.
Just needs those couple of seconds to get the files moved across to the distribution point.
This is a live demo, so...
It'll get there. Another couple of seconds and...
Let's push it a little bit faster there.
Yeah, I'll just turn the crank under the table. Here we go.
Okay.
It's getting there,
Get in there.
Yeah, it won't be too long.
Oh, actually, while we're waiting, you could open up another log to keep an eye on things here. And it's called the distmanager.log. That's this one here. And you can actually see information about the package that we're distributing. So if there was any errors, for example, that you know your site server, your distribution point was out of space, mm-hmm. or you didn't have rights, it'll be listed in here. So there's a good little tip to open up that log when you're distributing your driver package. So let's go back here, do a quick refresh, see what the story is.
Hey.
Look at that.
Excellent.
It's green, which means it has distributed it. But this is a little bug. You can see that the size is zero. The source version is one.
Mm-hmm.
So right-click on the package and choose Update Distribution Points. Click OK. And after a couple of minutes, the size will report the correct figure, and the source version will also increment one to source version two. So we can wait a little bit.
And we should see it pop up again.
Or we can return to it a little bit later.
Let's come back to it a wee little bit later. So the next section we want to run through is adding drivers to our X64 bootWIM. So this is the WIM file, which is going to get our machine bootstrapped and get it running.
Yep.
Some of the considerations here. We want to be adding, as you said earlier, just the network drivers. We don't want to be adding too much of the other stuff. We probably don't need a pen inside a WIMPE, for example.
Right.
Probably not going to be absolutely a requirement there. What about considerations around SMS TSINI?
Okay. The SMS TSINI file is a little text file, mm-hmm. which, if you use it properly, it will allow you to increase the log file size within Windows PE. Why is that important? Well, if you integrate MDT, for example, with Configuration Manager 2012 and do any sort of deployments, what you will see that is that the main log file for troubleshooting OSD, which is called SMSTSLog in Configuration Manager, that log file, it will overwrite itself mm-hmm. very quickly because the default size is, I don't know, 1 meg, 2 megs. It will overwrite itself with lots of details, and you might miss the actual failure when you're trying to troubleshoot a problem. So in order to get around that problem, you go into this SMSTSINI file, you increase the size of the default log file to something more reasonable like 10 megs or 50 megs or whatever that suits your environment, and you add that file to your bootWIM.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time you boot into Windows PE, your log files will be a bigger size, they won't overwrite themselves, and you will see your errors or your successes.
You'll have more opportunity to troubleshoot.
Exactly.
Also, network drivers, we need both the 100 meg and the gigabit drivers in there.
Right. I would recommend adding both. Why mm-hmm. not? They're two little small files.
Yeah, little tiny things.
You will have situations where you might be deploying not just the Surface Pro 3, but also the Surface Pro 2,
mm-hmm.
and you might have the older dongle. Unfortunately, we don't have an example to show right here at the moment, but there are two dongles, USB network dongles, that mm-hmm. you can get. One is 100 megabit, and the other one is gigabit, and they both require different drivers.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So we need to import those drivers into our bootWIM and update the bootWIM to our distribution points. We'll cover that in the next demo.
And obviously, there's no point in updating the 32-bit bootWIM.
No.
Because we're never going to use it inside of a Surface Pro 3 deployment.
Exactly.
I guess if you're going to be doing deployments to non-Surface Pro 3 devices, and you were going to maybe use the same network adapter for those devices, then you could possibly go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's not really worth it. And you can save yourself a few moments of time without doing that. And again, a couple of log files that are worth looking at, smsprov.log. For troubleshooting,
yep.
and drivercatalog.log as well on the site server.
Yes.
So let's dive into the demo for this, and
okay.
we'll check to see that our status is updated and the size of our drivers is being correctly reported again.
Right. So while we were talking about our network drivers, I didn't change the virtual machine at all. You can see I did a refresh up here, and we now have the correct size report at 466 megs, and the source version is 2. Mm-hmm. So those things, keep it in mind when you're dealing with driver packages in Configuration Manager, to add those two things, the size of the driver package mm-hmm. and the source version. When you're distributing driver packages, make sure that the source version is 2. Make sure that the size of your driver package is greater than 0. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Okay. Good. So does that, just to clarify, does that mean that you always have to move in increments of 2, or does it just need to be greater than 2?
Greater than 2.
2, okay.
Yeah.
So if you do an update and it moves it to version 3,
it's fine. You're grand. You're good to go. You're grand after that point, exactly. So now if we go back to the drivers node, you will see that there's a whole bunch of drivers in there. And we're going to use a method to add our surface Ethernet adapter. Let's search for that. We should see 2 listed if everything went right. Now here's a funny thing. Both of them are called the same thing, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Someone obviously decided to call them the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to differentiate which one is which, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, can't really tell.
Do you know which one is which?
Different version numbers on there?
Well, you can see that the version number, of course, the 2014 version number, that's more than likely the gigabit one, and yes, it is. So anyway, let's go in there. I'll show you a tip later on how we can make this a bit more user-friendly for us, the mm-hmm. admin, when you're dealing with boot images at a later point. So let's right-click and choose Edit. And you see we can add or remove them from driver packages or boot images. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to add them to our x64 boot WIM, which is this one. And we can automatically update the distribution points when finished. So before I do that, let's go to our boot images and look at our x64 boot WIM, just to prove that there are no drivers there. There are none, as you can see.
Nothing listed.
So let's go back to here and click on OK. And off we go. And this process can take some time. Mm-hmm. Actually, a bit slower than the driver package creation, but essentially it's the same thing. It's going to mount the boot WIM itself, make a copy of it, mount the copy, inject the drivers, mm-hmm. wrap it all up, stick it back. And what we will see the next time we go back to the boot WIM is that on the drivers tab, we're going to have 2 surface Ethernet adapters, the 100 mm-hmm. megabit one and the gigabit one.
So what about in terms of log files, if we want to see this process running through inside a CM Trace, whereabouts are we going?
Exact same place, SMS provider log. Mm-hmm. We will see something. It's not happening right now, but it will come. You can also open up a log called dism.log. Mm-hmm. Search for that, because when it starts mounting the boot WIM itself and injecting the drivers, that's where it's going to write about it.
So underneath the hood here, the actual process is we're doing an offline image servicing of our boot WIM to inject the drivers into that process. So a pretty standard way of doing it. You could run the same thing, presumably, from the command line yourself.
You could.
If you wanted to, but why would you?
Why would you? Exactly.
Yeah. If ConfigMan's going to do the job for you.
Yep, and there it goes, as you can see. Boom. So you can clearly see that it's adding the drivers to the offline boot WIM.
And this really does show the power of CM Trace.
Yeah,
actually, doesn't it? It really does. It is such
a brilliant tool. And here's another little tip. If you're looking, you can highlight specific things. So if you wanted to type in Surface Ethernet adapter, for example, Surface Ethernet, like so, you will see that it's now highlighted any lines that contain Surface Ethernet. Mm-hmm. So that's a good way of finding stuff within the logs quickly.
Yeah, makes it so it's really, really obvious so that you know what's happening as it's as it's running through as we go through.
Right. So anyway, it's injecting those drivers into our boot WIM, and it has done the job. If I now right-click on that boot image, click on Properties, and go to the Drivers tab, we can see right there and then our 2 drivers are added.
Excellent.
Bob's your uncle. So now all we have to do is update it to our distribution points, mm-hmm. and we're good to go.
Cool. Excellent. So so I guess next the thing to think about is adding Windows 8.1 x64 image.
Okay.
We need to use the update version.
Yes.
It does need
to
be updated.
Well, we don't need to. You can use Windows 8.1, that version. Mm-hmm. However, if you want to avail of, obviously, the latest features that are in the update version, then that's the version to use. Also, the OOBE experience for the Surface Pen pairing during OSD setup, the out-of-box experience part, that only works with the update version of Windows 8.1.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost certainly something you're going to be wanting to roll out as part of the update to deploying your Surface Pro 3s inside of your enterprise. Any particular things that we need to be kind of thinking about with this? We can obviously do it manually. We can bring the import of the image manually. We can do it through PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And then once we've got that inside of our images container inside of ConfigMan, I guess we're on to saying how we want to lay that image down onto the machine. So task sequences, probably.
Yeah. So we can't create the task sequence until we've added that image. So we will do that in a coming demo. But basically, you go ahead and create and edit your task sequence. Mm-hmm. Add the driver package specific step. Add your operating system image step. Point it to the WIM file that you've just imported, and add any other steps that do what you want to happen during the deploy task sequence. For example, to install software updates that are required for pen support.
Mm-hmm. Or BitLocker as well, I guess.
Yeah, it'd
be
BitLocker.
A really super useful thing. If you've not experienced BitLocker inside of Windows 8.1 update, or in fact Windows 8.1, very nice because we can do use space only encryption as part of the installation of Windows. That's awesome because if you do that, it probably means that you're deploying in a fully encrypted environment where the device, as Windows is laid down, the bits are actually probably being encrypted almost immediately. And one of the great things about being able to do that is it means if you do have that requirement for encryption and you've got a build factory, you're churning out lots of different machines on a regular basis, it prevents any one of your build engineers from accidentally taking a machine off of the production line before it's completed the encryption process.
Exactly.
Can be really, really painful if that happens to you in a production environment. So super cool that we can do that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Should we take a look at importing the image and creating
a task sequence? Absolutely. So here we are again back in the console. I'm just going to right-click on Operating System Images and choose Add Operating System Image. Once again, I'm going to point it to the path where I've copied the source.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be this would be the WIM file that you've captured.
This previously. Could be the WIM file that you've captured, or in the case of a vanilla installation, if you don't want to customize that WIM file in any way, or don't want to customize the image within your deploy task sequence, you can use the original installation media. It's mm-hmm. no problem.
Yep.
So, and that's what I'm doing in this case. So we just point it to the sources folder within there. And what we want is the install.wim file. And here we go. It's Windows 8.1 Enterprise X. We'll call it update version X64. Off we go. And as you can see, we're using a wizard to do that. You could have done that with PowerShell. Mm-hmm. No problem. There is the image. It's no good until, of course, we distribute it to our distribution points. Mm-hmm. We don't have the same problem as we had with driver packages. You can distribute it once and you're good to go. So off we go. Distribute it to one or more distribution points, mm-hmm. at least one. And continue through that wizard, and it's done. So there we have imported Windows 8.1 update, and we have distributed it to our distribution points. Now we're ready to actually create the task sequence to deploy that OS.
And that deployment task sequence is going to literally say, these are the steps in order to lay this down properly.
Right. So when you right-click on the task sequences node, you have the option to create a task sequence or create task sequence media. We'll choose create task sequence, and that's fantastic. It's complaining about something. It's a live demo, of course.
What's she complaining about
there? I'll close the console and start it again. It is a live demo.
Yeah, hopefully it's one of those things that I would previously, in a previous life, recorded inside of a help desk system as a transient network issue. So let's hope it's going to clear itself up within the next few seconds or so.
We hope so.
It's obviously reconnecting us back into your ConfigMan site server at the moment.
Seems to be taking longer than normal. I know why. It's distributing the install.
Of course, it's in the middle of the distribution.
Yeah, so that's 3 or so gigs, so it might take some time. But what we can do is either continue on with our presentation and return to this when it has distributed the WIM.
Well, let's go back and talk about the next step. After we'll just bring all these demos together. So after we've created the task sequence, the next thing that we're obviously going to need to do is deploy it.
Yes.
That's kind of there's a theme here, isn't there? You create it, then you deploy it.
Create, deploy. Yeah. So we create the task sequence, we customize it somewhat, add the steps that we want, add our apply driver package. I will go in and show a already created a task sequence for the Surface Pro 3 shortly, and we can look through the steps there and see what's important for the Surface Pro 3, but also how to apply the driver package. The actual clients won't be able to see that task sequence until you deploy it. Mm-hmm. So deploying it makes it available, so to speak. So we can right-click on the task sequence once the console allows us to, mm-hmm. and choose deploy. It's that simple.
When we're thinking about how we're going to use that task sequence, we might want to actually deploy it to media. So we might need to create boot media in order to be able to use that task sequence, mm-hmm. which just gives you the opportunity, in fact, to be able to use it completely without any connection back to your ConfigMan server. That can occasionally be quite a useful approach to be able to run through with. So there's a bunch of different ways that we can work with that. We're also going to need to work with collections like our unknown computers collection in order to be able to make sure that we can deploy two devices that have never been actually accepted into the Configuration Manager environment before. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. Let's go and we've obviously just distributed our install WIM.
Our install WIM, yes.
Yeah, and now we need to go and create that task sequence.
Yeah, so here we are back in the console. It's acting a little bit better now since we restarted the console. It was obviously a bug. I'm going to right click in task sequences and choose create task sequence. And we see a list of options there. We can install an existing image package, which mm-hmm. is what we've just imported.
Yep.
We can build and capture a reference operating system image. Remember we talked about capturing the image before? Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. Follow through that process.
That's kind of a fully automated process, isn't it?
For
actually doing that deploy, that build and capture.
Yep.
I guess you would kind of use the build and capture process if you wanted to kind of have all of your drivers installed, and then all of the Windows updates installed, all of the software installed.
Not drivers.
Okay.
In a build and capture task sequence, you generally don't include any drivers. All you want to do there is build a reference image with some reference apps, mm-hmm. for example, Office 365, whatever, and some, let's say, Windows updates. That's generally what you're going to stick in a reference image. In the deploy task sequence, that's where you add all your custom drivers steps. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're going to install an existing image package, click next, give the task sequence a name. And we need to assign a boot image to it. Very important here, because this is the Surface Pro 3, which mm-hmm. is a 64-bit UEFI device,
mm-hmm.
UEFI has a requirement that if the hardware is, for example, 64-bit, mm-hmm. then the boot image must also be 64-bit.
Right.
So if the Surface Pro 3 was an x86 hardware, and it isn't, it's x64, then it would require an x86 boot WIM.
Yeah.
But it isn't.
It's not. We have to use x64.
Yeah, we have to.
Absolute
so for deploying anything to the Surface Pro 3, it has to be a 64-bit boot WIM. Very important. So here we get to choose our image. There is our Windows 8.1. And we can enter a product key if we want. Remember I talked about the administrator password. Here's where you do it. Some secret password.
Yeah, totally secret.
Yep. And because this is a deploy task sequence, we want to join a domain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what we have here. There it is. And you can even specify an OU. And you want to specify a domain join account, which is what we're going to do now.
Yep. this is probably in production not going to be your actual domain admin account.
No, exactly. You wouldn't want to be using a domain administrator account because the credentials will be revealed in the SMSTS log.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, they're going to be available in clear text, so you do need to make sure that these are...
Sorry, the unattended.xml file, I should say.
Yes.
So here we go. You have the ability to test the connection to see that you typed it in correctly, and it says the connection successfully verified. That's really cool, because if you type in the wrong password here and don't bother to verify, it's not going to join the domain, and that's going to be suboptimal experience.
Yeah, it's going to just fail partway through. It's really not going to be a good experience for anybody.
Here we have our Configuration Manager client. You could add some installation properties, for example, CCM log level, CCM log max size to increase the SMSTS.log. We're not going to do that right now. Remember we talked about capturing user state. This is where this is where you can specify those settings and the actual package itself. We're not going to do that for this specific task sequence because we just want to create a task sequence. We also have the option to select to install Windows updates, right?
Yep.
So if we wanted to install Windows updates that may have been released after we created that reference image, that's how you do it. In addition, you might want to install some applications, so select whatever apps you want to add to your deploy task sequence and add them there. And finally, we get a summary, and we should have our task sequence created. And then you can go ahead and deploy that out, deploy it to a collection. Now, that's the question. Which collection are you going to deploy it to?
Well, that's the, that is probably the $1,000 question.
And it's a very important question.
It is, because if you mistarget it, then you're actually going to end up in a in potentially a very poor situation, because nobody's going to be able to apply this to a machine. You may end up, you may only want to have Service Pro 3s that have already been deployed that you want to redeploy this task sequence to. Of course, the chances are you actually want to deploy this to bare metal machines. So in that case, there's a very special group that you need to use as your limiting collection.
Some things that you need to consider here, and this is very important, because of the boot image that is attached to this task sequence was a 64-bit boot WIM. If you are in an environment in your enterprise where you have a mix of Windows 7 task sequences, God forbid, Windows XP, and some other OSs that can be deployed with an x86 boot image because this is legacy hardware. So you can deploy an x64 operating system to legacy hardware with an x86 boot WIM. That is normal standard practice. So there are lots of places out there that have a task sequence with an x86 boot WIM. Now, what happens if you go ahead and deploy the Surface Pro 3 task sequence to the same collection as the one with the x86 boot WIM? What it will mean is a suboptimal experience, because those machines, when they boot up, they're initially going to pull down the 64-bit boot WIM, and then they're going to have to stage the x86 boot WIM. Not so nice, because it will add time to your deployment. Secondly, the converse is also true. If you deploy this task sequence to a collection, like whatever it happens to be, your OSD deploy collection, and you then later on deploy another task sequence with an x86 boot WIM, when you attempt to PXE boot the Surface Pro 3, it will pull down that x86 boot WIM, it'll go through the whole process of pulling it down, and then it'll try and launch it, and then boom, you get an error.
Right.
And that error will, after you search the internet, will bring you back to the result that you cannot boot a Surface Pro 3 on an x86 boot WIM. So the reason we mentioned LIFO at the start of this module, and that's what it that's what's important here. The last task sequence that's deployed to a collection, the boot WIM that's attached to that task sequence is the boot WIM you're going to get when you boot your hardware. So last in, first out. So if you want the x64 boot WIM to be the boot image that all your devices are going to pull as by default, then make sure to deploy that task sequence last. In other words, after you've done your x86.
Or I guess use a different collection.
Exactly. Or create a completely different collection, which is for x64-bit hardware only.
Yep.
Such as the Surface Pro 3.
Cool. So, So you're going to deploy that out to presumably a collection at this point?
Okay, well what I will do actually is create a collection. Mm-hmm. We will just call it something generic. x64 boot wim UEFI only. And we'll give it a limiting collection of all systems. And we're not going to add any membership rules at all to this collection. So it's going to be blank collection with no members. So now we have created the collection, and it shows up down here, UEFI only. You can go back to your task sequence that we created, Surface Pro 3, and go ahead and deploy that task sequence out to your collection. And there it is. It tells us that it doesn't contain any members. That's okay. Yeah. We can add members to it later.
Well, I think we're the next section is going to be importing Surface Pro 3 devices into Configuration Manager. Mm-hmm. So we'll go through exactly that process in a second.
All right. There are a number of ways that we can import our Surface Pro 3 hardware into Configuration Manager. Mm-hmm. We can add it via the MAC address itself. Plus the computer name.
Okay.
We can add it via the GUID plus the computer name.
And that's the unique identifier that you can find inside of the UEFI.
Right.
Yeah.
So on the Surface Pro 3, if you press and hold the up volume button and then press the power button at boot time, you'll get into the UEFI BIOS.
Yeah.
And in the UEFI BIOS, there is a section there which lists the GUID. Mm-hmm. So you can take it from that, or you can use a script that's available out on TechNet to actually pull that from all your Surface Pro 3s. You can take these values, GUID mm-hmm. or MAC, and computer names, and create a text file, a mm-hmm. CSV text file, which you can use to import multiple machines at the same time into this collection that we just created. And that's
good to know.
Another option that you could do is that you could create an unknown computers collection for x64 hardware only, mm-hmm. and you could deploy the task sequence to that collection. And that would save you the bother of having to do this process. One thing I will point out, though, is that you can see the first thing is adding via a MAC address. Mm-hmm. How do you get that MAC address? Well, you would think that you would just pick up your USB dongle and it's written on it, but unfortunately, it isn't. Okay. You actually have to boot into Windows or WinPE to get the MAC address of that dongle.
But it could be a situation where you're using that dongle over and over again.
Right.
In order to do lots of builds. Certainly your build testing, you may be using the same one a number of times. So you've got a bunch of options in order to be able to target your machine.
You do.
Yeah. So importing machines, let's move into a demo on that.
Okay. Hold on a moment. Just complete my deploy. If we go to Assets and Compliance and choose Devices, you will see at the top of the screen here, we have a device, and we can choose to import somewhere. Hold on a moment, it's not showing the whole GUI. Here we go, import computer information. And we have two options there. We can import computers using a file, which mm-hmm. is that text file I talked to you about before, and I have a sample here, this one here, and in that file we specify the name, the SMBIOS GUID, and the MAC address. Now, do we need all three? No, we don't. Mm-hmm. So it can be, there must be a minimum of two.
Yeah.
So you need the computer name, and you need either the GUID or the MAC address. Mm-hmm. But you must have two things, otherwise we can't import it. So let's do that. Let's point it to that file. There it is, handily enough. And if we click on this file as column headings, you can see that the name is Surface Pro 3, assign as name. There's the SMBIOS GUID. And here's the MAC address. And we click on next. And we get to then, okay, it's got invalid data. We have to find out what is the invalid data. Correct the contents of the file or select another import file. There's probably something wrong with my MAC address or the GUID. And more than likely, it's the GUID because I typed it in late last night.
Yeah, okay.
But assuming that you've got it right, it will allow you to continue this wizard, and you will choose a target collection, which will be our X64 bootwin only, UEFI only devices.
Awesome, excellent.
All right.
So moving on to the last section of this module.
Yes.
Creating USB media. This is one of those things which we really need to cover because it's a little different to the approach that you may have seen in the past for creating USB media.
Absolutely. One of the key things to remember here is that the USB media itself must be FAT32.
Mm-hmm.
It must be. If you download one of those freely available tools that convert an ISO into a USB bootable key, more than likely they will format the USB key in NTFS.
Yep.
And that is no good.
Yeah.
UEFI cannot boot from that and it will fail. So we have to format the USB key as FAT32 and we must of course use our 64-bit bootwin. So those two things are key here to successfully booting the Surface Pro 3 from a USB device.
Yeah, and that's the reason we've included that is actually it's a really common common issue. Lots of people get this wrong. They wonder why their USB key isn't able to start the machine up. So really important that we cover that. We've gone through a huge amount of stuff going through this module.
Yep.
We've covered the end-to-end deployment of drivers. We've covered the end-to-end deployment of the operating system. We looked at task sequences. Whole ton of stuff inside of this module. Come back for the next one where we'll be digging into even more stuff around the deployment of Surface Pro 3.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing that.